welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
I got a tough one for you today. You guys ready? Somebody say, yeah, I'm ready. All right, Richard, play this song real quick. How many of you guys ever heard this song? Come on, bring it up a little, man. It's music. Be a DJ, man. Be a DJ. There we go. All right, I want you to listen to the words of the verse of this.
There is a season. Turn, turn, turn. I've made time to
listen to this part right here. Alright. That's good, that's good. We're working on that slow fade. There it is. That's the DJ fade. Now, you know these guys should actually be sued for plagiarizing and stealing Ecclesiastes chapter 3, right? That is actually, those lyrics are out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'd like to read this to you guys. You ready? See, you thought you were listening to the birds singing turn, 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 and you were actually getting scripture sung over you, right? So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. All right, I won't sing it. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Look at this. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose. I like gain better. A time to keep and a time to throw away. Some of you guys need to work on that at your house. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. This is your Bible. There's a time to hate and a time of war and there's a time of peace. Now, my message today is called A Time for War. You know, the war in Israel is getting real, isn't it? It's getting real. And I just want to address the elephant in the room. I think every church is saying, what do we do? You know, and they're avoiding it. They want to talk about the love of Jesus today. You know, and that's fine. We need to talk about the love of Jesus, but we've got world events unfolding right now and like never before in history, and Israel is at war, and we need to understand, what does that mean for us as the church, as believers? Hamas broke through the border and began to kill and kidnap all the Israeli people, and Israel declared war. You know, when they drag your grandma through the streets with a chain behind their truck, start killing your babies, I'm just going to tell you, it's time for war. Okay? I mean, there is a time for war. And we need to understand that in the church, because if we don't understand it, then we're going to be confused in the current in the near future that is about to unfold in our world, because I'm here today to just break it to you gently, but It's just getting warmed up. You know, it's like, is this the beginning of the end, Pastor? Is this it? Is Armageddon on the way now? Or is everything going to just start unfolding for the end times? I don't know. Can I just look at you and go, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But it shouldn't change where we're standing. Where we're at is the church. You know, the Hamas attacks on Israel are demonic. I'm just going to be straight. It's demonic. People are dying. War is bad. It's real. You know, I have the testimony that I've never been to war myself personally. Now, wars have been fought in my lifetime, but they didn't have the draft for my lifetime. Some of you actually experienced the draft. Some of you have been to war. Some of you know what that feels like when they line you up and say, it's time to go to war. We need your men. We need you. And we are lining you up. You don't really have a choice. You are being called into service. Somebody say service. You know, the bottom line is this. I've never physically been to war. But I've battled things since I was born. I've been in a different war, a spiritual war. In my life, I battled rejection most of my life. You know, my mom is here celebrating with us today, and she adopted me when I was a little baby, and I had a wonderful life. Come on, let's give my mom a round of applause, because she was in an even bigger war than I was trying to raise me. Okay, she's been through hell, and now it's heavenly for her, right? It's better now, right? She's like, yeah, I don't want him to be 14 to 18 again. But you know what? I battled that spirit of rejection because, you know, she adopted me and gave me a great home. But through adoption, there's always this peace inside of you that says, why didn't my mom or dad want me? And, you know, and I found out later, and we all met, and I found my birth mother when I was 30, and we all got to know each other. They're great friends. And I met my brother, Kevin, and my sister, Lisa. And Kevin has a twin, Karen, right? But I go down there and I'm meeting my family and everybody. And, you know, I come back. My wife's like, well, how was it? And I just looked at her and I got there and they were all like Fort Pierce. They lived an hour away. And they were all rednecks. Airboats, hog raising, cowboy hat loving, rednecks. And I looked at my wife. I didn't say there was anything wrong with it. They're my family. I love them. But I could have been a redneck. I could have been one. Through my lovely mom and adoption, I was spared and given the life of a metalhead. But there is nothing wrong with that. I'm with you. I'm tracking with you, okay? But I've been in battles my whole life, and that rejection caused me to live my life and do things and experience warfare unlike anything you've ever imagined in my heart and in my mind and my emotions. And many of you are fighting those same types of battles, okay? We're not at physical war, and physical war is real. Actually, do we have, is there any veterans in here? Would you guys please stand? We want to just take a moment. We want to just say thank you for your bravery, your hard work, and your dedication to our country. Thank you. And many of you have been in battles and you have been to war, and we appreciate you putting your lives on the line for us. But we can't all say that we've been in a physical war. Imagine you're at a rave and the lines of the border come down, and it's your kids, your teenagers are at this dance party, and they run across the border and just start gunning them down. Would you be ready to go to war? Can we blame Israel for declaring war? No, we cannot. And I want to share with you a little bit as to why that they're doing the right thing. They're doing a godly thing when they declared war. You see, the war that we're seeing in Israel right now started back in Genesis. It goes all the way to the beginning. And guess what? It's not going to end until the end in Revelation when we see the final coming of Jesus Christ into this world. And then we walk into the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Until then, we are at war. All of us. Genesis 3:15. This is talking about Eve and the serpent. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. I find this interesting because I'm always looking for Jesus in the Old Testament. How many of you guys know Jesus is right here? He says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. And then it turns around and says, and he will bruise your head. And then you're going to bruise his heel. That's, you ever see the Passion of the Christ where Jesus just goes and he just stomps that serpent, man? I love that scene. The snake didn't squirm enough, though. Should have been like, you know? That would have been a little more like, yeah. But that's when war was declared. Right there. God says, I've just declared war on the devil, and I'm going to send you the victory. His name is Jesus. And through him, you're going to bruise your heel, stomping the devil. You already have the victory. You know, Cain declared war on his brother Abel in the very beginning. First battle, Cain killed Abel. He let sin have its way in his heart. And what happened? He became corrupted. And then that corruption caused him to rise up and to kill his brother. Sin produces death. War brings death. What causes war? Selfishness, pride, greed. All of those things are the makers of what cause wars. Let's go back to the Israel conflict in the Bible. Do you know where that all started with the Palestinians and the Israelis? It started with Abraham. Abraham got a promise from God that you and your wife are going to conceive a son, and through him the promise is going to come. And then Sarah doubted and wavered a little bit in that promise, and she sent her handmaiden in to sleep, you know, with Abraham, thinking maybe she's the problem. Maybe they weren't getting pregnant right away or something. She's like, well, maybe I need to test it out, see if I'm the problem. Here, you go in there, and next thing you know, Ishmael's born. Ishmael wasn't the son of promise. Think about this. So Ishmael's from the servant girl, Hagar. Isaac's the son of the promise. You know, Ishmael is a descendant of the Palestinian lineage. Did you know that? He was the first son of Abraham, the patriarch of the Abrahamic religions, and Hagar was Abraham's wife. Sarah gave birth to Ishmael. And according to the Bible, Ishmael died at the age of 137 years old. In Islam, Ishmael is considered a prophet and messenger and the ancestor to the Ishmaelites. Palestinians are primarily descendants of Ishmael. And they're making a claim on the Holy Land. They're saying, this is my land. I am a son of Abraham. But he wasn't the son of promise. And that's where this whole conflict has started and has carried on all the way till today, and they're still fighting. Like Cain and Abel, you got two brothers. They're brothers. And the same father. But they're at war because of rejection. Think about that. They have their claim on the promised land and the Abrahamic covenant. So what does that mean? Let's look at what does the Bible say about war. What is this whole war thing about? You know that God often ordered his people, the Israelites, to go to war with other nations and literally wipe them out? What? God said, wipe them out? Look at this in 1 Samuel 15:3. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them. Kill the man, the woman, the infant, and nursing child. Ox, sheep, camels, donkeys. God's like, kill it all. Why would God do that? You know, I often think that there was diseases in the land. There was things that God was protecting the promised children from. And he would say, go in and annihilate these things. There is a time for war. Joshua 4:13 says, about 40,000 prepared for war and crossed over before the Lord for battle in the plains of Jericho. God said, destroy, go in, conquer. You know, war is never a good thing, but I'm here today to tell you that sometimes war is a necessary thing in this life, because sin unrestrained, sin out of control in the hearts of people actually goes out of control and begins to bring destruction. God established the authority in the earth and the governments of the earth to thwart evil. And instead, they become the evil. Plain and simple. So we're at war. Now, what do? Physically, we don't. Jesus fought the battle. He died on the cross. The victory's been given to us. But now we got to live out this lifetime and this war with everybody going at it and fighting each other out of selfishness, pride, and all of those things. And God's like, there's not much I can do to prevent all of that because sin is running rampant in the leadership and in the government, and it's out of control. But I've given you the victory. That doesn't mean we're not going to have to endure some hardships. Doesn't mean we're not going to have to go through some things. That war could come. It could happen. I think the biggest misconception that we have as Americans is think, oh, that'll never happen here. It can happen here. Okay? Look at me. It can happen here. It can happen anywhere. Why? Because people's hearts are wicked. And they get plans and they devise things. I can prove it to you. You know, here's the general consensus on what the heart of a person looks like in Romans 3:10-18. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they've practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, and whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are on their way, in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's Hamas and many other organizations that are running out of control. And if they're not kept in check, they will try to take over our country and any other country they can get a hold of. So there is a time for war. And Israel is doing what they have to do to protect their borders and to protect their land. But they're protecting everybody's land in the process. There's so much that I could show you about it. I mean, all through Revelation, you've got the trumpets, seven trumpets in Revelation. One was World War I, one was World War II, one was the Chernobyl accident. I mean, I can break it all down for you. We are living Revelation. And the sixth trumpet is blowing right now. And in the Bible, it says a third of the world's population is going to die when that trumpet blows. So we've got to be prepared as believers, knowing that we have eternal life. But what about if a third of the world's population is potentially going to perish and they don't know Jesus? That's not a good thing. So our job as the church of Jesus Christ is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why do we go to Mexico? Why do we go to the Dominican? Why do we travel? Because the gospel must be preached in every nation. People are dying. People are perishing. And if they don't know Jesus, it's going to be a long eternity for them. Isn't this so encouraging? All right. I'm so hungry. So hungry. All right. Hold on. You guys get this? All right. What does Jesus say about war? Let's look at what Jesus said. He said, the nation will rise against nation and kingdom will rise against kingdom. There will be wars. There will be rumors of wars in the last days, that Judea will be devastated, Jerusalem besieged and taken by the Gentiles. Sound familiar? What does the book of Psalms say? Blessed be the Lord, my rock. Psalms 144, 1 through 3. Who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Because back then you held swords. Right? Now it's just a finger. Still finger though. Right? I do. My loving kindness and my fortress is what God is. My high tower, my deliverer, my shield, the one who I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you're mindful of him? You know, God's mindful of you. He's mindful of every person that is in the path of war. And his desire is that they would all have this, first and foremost, have the saving knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ, and that they would experience, as war may run them over, as they knock down the fences and gun them down in their rave, like they did in Israel, that every one of those people would have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and still be able to inherit eternal life, even though this life brought them trouble, because the scripture says what? In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What does that mean? We need to get everybody saved, man. They need to know Jesus. The war machine is turning. Now I'm quoting Ozzy. Jesus said, war's already here. You had wars mentioned in the Bible, wars of conquest, civil wars, but you know there was a war even in heaven? Heaven itself had a war. Revelation 12, 7 through 9, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, Do you notice in this scripture that it doesn't say deceived the whole world? It's still happening. The deception is still happening. It says the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. We're still at war. We're still in a battle. Lives are being won in.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for Discipleship Encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is the place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website, ourlighthouse.net, or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.